Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and in a metropolis of 8.5 million people, one in every 128 New Yorkers is currently experiencing homelessness, according to the Bowery Mission. 4,000 people spend the night on the street every night in New York City. The non-homeless have all brushed up against homelessness in this city, though in a fast-paced environment, it has a way of blending into the urban landscape, and the non-homeless tend to otherize homeless people. A new book, created with the stories of 13 people who were once homeless, aims to bring those stories more into the category of us. Joining me now are Susan Greenfield, professor of English at Fordham, and the editor now of Sacred Shelter, 13 Journeys of Homelessness and Healing, and also two of the people whose stories are featured in the book. James Addison, who works for the Life Experience and Faith Share, or he is a Life Experience and Faith Sharing Associate, which he ministers to homeless people on the streets and in shelters, and Dennis Barton, who works in the Education Department of Planned Parenthood. Dennis is also a deacon at Middle Collegiate Church. Thank you all very much for coming in. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you so much for having us.
Susan, the essays featured in the book, I see, were compiled through a life skills empowerment program. Can you briefly explain the program to us and how it led to this book?
So the Life Skills Empowerment Program began in 1989 by a man named George Horton of Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of New York and Mark Greenberg of the Interfaith Assembly on Homelessness and Housing. And over the years, it developed a three-part curriculum for people who were experiencing homelessness. One is there were workshops about life skills, healthy living, political action. One is every person in the program is paired with a mentor. And what actually became the basis of the book is that everybody in the program is asked to write or in some cases tell a version of their life stories. I originally volunteered with the program as a mentor and then started to hear these life stories. And the book grows out of that, and all the people in the book are graduates of that, but it's become something, it's very much about these 13 people and their whole lives. And they gave interviews and were able to talk for many, many hours about their lives.
So would you like to introduce us briefly to the two contributors who came with you this morning?
I would so like to do that. So Dennis Barton, when I actually started volunteering at the Life Skills Program, he was the facilitator of the program. He was with somebody else, Naomi Goldberg, running the program. And I just thought he was the greatest guy in the world. And my whole goal was to get him to actually know me from Adam or Eve. And over time, I began to hear his life story. But I also saw Dennis in action helping all of these people in the program who were currently experiencing homelessness. And James Addison, I met later through these connections. And James is an amazing man with such deep reserves of love and caring and compassion. And I have felt getting to know both of these men, and I would never have gotten to know them in any other way or any of the other people in this book, has been, you know, life-changing for me, has enriched my life, but not only that, has helped me heal.
That's beautiful. And so, James, to get into some of the tough stuff in your story, because this is about telling your stories, this is what's in the book. In the 80s, you were using heroin, you went on to crack, the shame of which caused you to keep away from family and friends, as you tell it. You talk about living in Penn Station and then turning to shelters in the winter when it got cold. It might be useful for people to hear about your transition to homelessness, like how it wound up that you were, okay, you were using drugs, but you were living somewhere, and then you weren't living somewhere. How did that happen?
Well, like you said, I was I grew up in the South Bronx, in a place called Fort Apache, and I wound up in the streets because of an abusive stepfather who really abused us. And from that point on, of course, I lived a life out on the streets, gang life, drug life, all of in the above. In the meantime, I had children while I was out while I was on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the in and out of the jails and the drug use transitioned me to the streets and eventually inside of the shelters where I met a sister Dorothy and sister Teresa, who are two nuns who work for the Sisters of Charity of New York, and what I do now is because of the community, these healing communities that were there, so I dedicate my life now to helping others.
And Dennis, again, just cutting right into the middle of your story and into the tough stuff, you were incarcerated, I see, after a Giuliani-era buy-and-bust program in the late 90s. And people might think, well, once you're in the system, once you're in prison, then there are actually transitional programs that are supposed to keep you from winding up homeless. What was your story?
Well, this was the late 90s, November 1999, that I got arrested. I got arrested for a sale of a controlled substance. I was sentenced to 1 to 3 years. By the time I got out of state, I was ready to see the parole board. But this was a turning point in my life. It was a turning point where I said, I can't do this no more. This is after 33 years of drug addiction and 14 years of homelessness. I couldn't do it anymore. I signed up while I was incarcerated on Rikers Island, I signed up for a drug program the first time in my life, right? And I started to work on me. By the time I was paroled to Bellevue Men's Shelter. And the director of the shelter, she heard some of my story. And she recommended me to the Bellevue Substance Abuse Program. And I was there for 2 years working on me, doing what I had to do for me, changing my life. And so today, as a result of that drug interdiction, that drug treatment, I'm celebrating over 18 years clean. But that arrest that night was a transformative thing for me. I couldn't do it anymore. It was, you know.
Could you talk a little bit about being in the holding cell, because that's a great detail?
Yeah. You know, I'm in the holding cells. You know, in the Bronx, they transported me to the courthouse, and I look around. I'm the oldest man in there. I'm like 49 years old. Mm. And guys in there are saying, hey, Pops, what are you in here for? You know, hey, old man, what are you in here for? And at that point, I realized that I couldn't do this anymore. I'd been estranged from my children. My mom had passed away. You know, family didn't know where I was. So, you know, it was transformative, you know? Yeah.
And James, maybe you could tell a little bit about what happened that transformed you. There was a specific thing that happened that made you say you couldn't do it anymore.
Well, I was living in Fort Washington Men's Shelter at the time, and in this shelter, it was 1,000 men who slept on a drill floor, and I was going to my dad's job to ask for some money to get high, and my dad told me that I was going to be a grandfather, and I was 39 years old, and I didn't know who my daughter was. I had a son out there who I hadn't seen since he was 3 years old, that his mother had died of a drug overdose. And at this point, I think I got an epiphany, and I just wanted to get my life together at that point. That was the turning point for me, one of the turning points for me.
We're talking with Susan Celia Greenfield, the editor and two of the contributors, James Addison and Dennis Barton, to a new book called Sacred Shelter, 13 Journeys of Homelessness and Hearing. There's also a related event for anyone who might be interested. Susan will be at Middle Collegiate Church this Sunday, December 9th at 1:30. That's at 2nd Avenue and 7th Street in Manhattan, with our guest Dennis Barton, who's also a deacon at Middle Collegiate Church. So in case you're interested in that, and we'll continue in a minute. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and that live streaming, if you're interested, is at WNYC.org. As we continue with Susan Greenfield, James Addison, and Dennis Barton of the book Sacred Shelter, 13 Journeys of Homelessness and Healing. Susan, there's an underlying message here, which I think you want these stories to be heard for the sake of humanizing and kind of working away from the marginalization of people who are homeless, so everybody else doesn't just walk by someone who appears to be homeless and not give it a second thought, right?
That's definitely part of it, and that's a message I've heard and learned from Dennis and James. Right, that the point is to give a face and a voice to people who are experiencing homelessness so that people can know their stories. But I would add that the stories themselves are incredibly inspiring. I mean, it's so easy for us to see a society, or as you talked about before, to otherize certain people, people who are in the margins of society, people who are experiencing homelessness. And what I have found in working on this book and getting to know these people is that their stories are not just about them, they're about me. That there's a kind of, all of the people in the book tell these very tragic, very traumatic stories, but each one of them has found a way to experience love and then begin to give love and caring back to the community. Mm. And so when I started in this program, I often tell this story. As a mentor, I was having a hard time in my life. I was struggling with depression. My oldest daughter had just gone to college. You may understand mm-hmm. that experience. And I was having something of a midlife crisis, and I really wasn't feeling very well. And I started to be a mentor, and Dennis somehow miraculously knew to pair me with Rodney Allen, who also tells this story in this book. And Rodney was in this process of incredible transformation. He was finding a relationship with God in a way that, you know, I didn't identify with, but brightened him and brightened me. And what I always say is that when I would show up at these meetings, Rodney would take one look at me and he'd say, "Oh, you're helping me so much." And I'd say, "I haven't even taken off my coat yet," mm-hmm. you know? And the idea of being in his presence and witnessing his transformation and the strength and the resilience and the courage he had inspired me. I mean, that's another message in this book, that it's not just we uh-huh. need to learn about people experiencing uh-huh. homelessness, we people who don't know it, uh-huh. but we need to learn from these people.
Dennis, can you elaborate on that?
Well, I just know that when I met Susan and she came as a mentor, you know, even for me, you know, I had graduated from one of these programs, and now I was being asked to co-facilitate one of them. And just the fact that Susan, you know, taking time out of her day, out of her life as a busy professor, to come and help us, you know. But I just know that both James and I might agree that, you know, all that we have experienced, that we're called to give back some of that blessing that we've got, that we've received. You know, we've been blessed. You know, I was sitting with James in a restaurant this morning, you know, right downstairs, and you know, we were looking out the window and were saying, you know, how many times have we walked by places like this and wished we could go in there? And here we are today, by the grace of God and the help of others, mm-hmm. people like Susan and the programs we've gone through.
But yeah. Can I just throw something in here? it's not just the help of others. You help others.
Yeah.
But what about systemic, socioeconomic, political, structural issues? You're all talking in very personal terms, how you met each other and helped each other and individual faith lifting up. But we know that there's structural injustice, structural racism, all these things that contribute to homelessness and whose homelessness, James?
Yeah, you know, most of us who are homeless, you know, really have to take responsibilities for some of the things that we've did to ourselves, which is important, you know. But a lot of times you want to look at, you know, homeless people are dealing with a lot of different forces. You know, you're dealing with your own forces, and then you're dealing with the forces that are in your environment and in your community. But then there's the systemic things that also help to contribute to homelessness.
What do each of you want? We're getting a call like this that I don't have time to put on the air because the show's almost over, but I'll ask her question and squash it down, which is, in the opinion of all three of you, very briefly, what do you want a non-homeless person to do when they walk by an apparently homeless person on the street? Anything or nothing?
Well, I think just acknowledging people as human beings is really good, you know. And I also know that, you know, I do a lot of street ministry myself. It's tough work, and I know that everybody can't do that. You understand? Mm-hmm. But everybody can do something, whether it's an acknowledgement, whether it's getting in touch with other organizations that help homeless people. You know, I was fortunate to be a part of the you know, of Life and Faith Sharing, who's a sponsored ministry of the Sisters of Charity. So I know I'm talking
so
too much.
That. Yeah, Dennis, we have about 25
okay,
seconds
so just
for last.
I want to agree with James that acknowledgement. Remember people's humanity when you see them on the street. Remember their humanity. Just quickly, you know, when you see people on the train, just don't think, oh, they need to get help. You know, think about what you can do to help them. Think about what you can do.
Susan, 15 seconds.
I would stress that people don't become homeless in a vacuum, and the vast majority of the people who are homeless have suffered systemic injustice. And it's not just about individual responsibility and faults. And if you're not homeless, you should remember that about people who are.
The book is called Sacred Shelter, 13 Journeys of Homelessness and Healing. We thank the editor, Susan Celia Greenfield, and two of the contributors, Dennis Barton and James Addison. And Dennis and Susan will be this Sunday at 1:30 at the Middle Collegiate Church. Dennis is also a deacon there, and there'll be an event related to the book. Thank you all very much for
coming
in.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.